turning in our Bibles to the 12th chapter of John's Gospel. The Gospel according to John chapter 12. And we're reading from verse 20 to verse 36 of this chapter. The Gospel according to John chapter 12, verse 20 to 36. We'll read it together, taking your time from me, please. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast up. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and did, and departed, and did hide himself from them. God shall stamp with his own seal of approval and blessing this reading from his own precious, infallible book. I had a most wonderful experience during the past week. I was sitting at my desk, preparing a sermon, and suddenly these words came ringing in my ear: "We would see Jesus." I couldn't get away from it, so I turned them up and I opened up that passage of scripture that we have read in our reading today, and I discovered that there are 10 distinct views of Christ in those few verses. 10 very distinct and special views of Christ. The Greeks wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus described to them exactly and defined who the real Jesus is, and what he is, and what he has done. I'd like to think I would get some way along my sermon today, but I'll certainly not finish it today, because if I spoke for 3 minutes on each one of these, then the time would be more than over. But I'm not going to rush it, for I believe the Lord has something he wants to tell us all here today. Look with me then at the 12th chapter of John, and at the verse 21, Sir, we would see Jesus. Upon this text of Scripture, never let us forget it, lies the dark shadow of the cross. Jesus is less than a week from Calvary, from Pilate's judgment hall, from dark Gethsemane, from the nakedness of the cross and the horror of carrying our sins and being forsaken by God, because he was the sin-bearing Lamb of God. So upon Jesus Christ that day, there was the ever-increasing and darkening shadow of the cross that he was going to carry and upon which he was going to hang and die. The Greeks were in darkness. They were in a greater shadow, for they did not know him. But there had been born in their hearts a God-given desire that they might see Jesus. They didn't say they wanted to embrace Jesus. They didn't say that they wanted to be introduced to Jesus. They said, we want to see him. They were spirit taught, because it is in seeing Jesus that you're saved. How were you saved? You were saved the day you saw Jesus. How do you live the Christian life? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It is in seeing him that the mystery of all mysteries is revealed, the mystery of the salvation of the sinful souls of men. Eternity is unstopped when you see Jesus. Deity is seen face to face when you see Jesus. The Word is brought nigh, specially to your heart, when you see Jesus. The golden vision is presented. And the only true beatific vision is given when the human soul sees Jesus. His glory broke upon me when I saw him from afar. He's brighter than the morning. He's fairer than the morning star. He's all my fancy pictured in its fairest dreams and more. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. The all-important act and stated action is to see Jesus. If you see him, you'll be saved eternally. If you see him, one day you'll be with him forevermore. I trust today our eyes will be fixed and glued upon the blessed Lord Jesus. Now please note the title of Christ, which he himself gives to himself in this passage of Scripture. Look with me at the text number 34. We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Who is this Son of Man? Look at verse 32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Throughout the Gospels, this Son relationship of Christ is underlined again and again. And you will find four Son relationships spoken of Christ. He is first of all the Son of God. Read the Gospels. Count how many times Jesus is called the Son of God. He is also the Son of David. Count how many times he is called the Son of David. He is also called the Son of Abraham. Count how many times he's called the Son of Abraham. And then he's called the Son of Man. Now, let's look at these titles. The Son of God, first of all. Who first called Christ on earth? By that title, the Son of God. We know that the angel, before Christ was born, used that title in his prophecy to the Virgin Mary. If you turn over to Luke's Gospel, and this is the first mention of it, before Christ was born, in the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, you'll find something there that tells us what the angel said and what the angel told Mary about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a wonderful statement which the angel made at verse 35 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Called the Son of God. Now that was the first mention of that title concerning Christ in the Gospel. That was before he was born. Another voice from heaven spoke when he was baptized in the Jordan. And that voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But while I was studying this, I noticed that the first person on earth that called him the Son of God was none other than the devil himself. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse, in Matthew chapter 3 and the temptation, he said, if thou be the Son of God. The angel prophesied that he would be the Son of God. That holy thing was born. The Father attested it from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the devil challenged him. He challenged the Son of God. And you know that theologians today are again challenging the eternity of the Son of God. They say that Christ is not the eternal Son of God. That's to do with his birth. It is to do with his eternity. He is the second person of the adorable Trinity. He is the Son of God. I want you to take your testament sometime and have a look at the references in the Bible to the Son of God. Because this is the Jesus that we want to see. It's not Jesus who is the Son of some production of evolution. It's Jesus who is the virgin-born Son of God. We have to see the eternal Son of the Most High God. And throughout the New Testament, there is a repetition of the fact that he is the Son of God. And the devil challenged it. No wonder the devil challenged it, because in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, we read these words, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." When Jesus arrived on this earth, the devil knew his day was over. The mighty conqueror had arrived. Emmanuel, the Son of God. And on the day of the crucifixion, Christ didn't die as a victim. He died as a glorious victor. He put his heel upon the serpent's head. And as Mr. Spurgeon said, he's keeping it there forever. The heel of Christ is on the serpent's head, the Son of God. So when you come across this title, the Son of God, carefully mark it. I haven't time to go further in that today. Let's come to the title, the Son of David. Now that's a different title. That title brings in King David. And of course, if you look at the Gospel of Matthew, and you read the genealogy of our Savior and our precious Lord, what do you read? You read the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. The Son of David. Now, Christ is revealed in the Gospels in relationship to his offices. And of course, he is seen in the Gospel of Matthew as Christ the King. So he is seen especially in the Gospel of Matthew as Christ the Son of David. But if you go down the genealogy, although many kings are mentioned, there is only one called the King, and that's in reference to David. So while many kings are mentioned, there is only one called the King in the genealogy of Matthew. That is important. But you know, I looked up these references this week to how many times the Lord was called the Son of David. And I discovered that 9 times in the book of Matthew, he's called the Son of David. In Matthew 1 and verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Matthew 9, verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. The first two people, please note this, the first two people that called him the Son of David in Matthew's gospel, what did they want to do? They wanted to see Jesus, the one that they raised up. And all through this, there is a golden thread of seeing Jesus. You have to look closely at it. You never get anything out of the Bible until you look closely at it. I said a few remarks at presbytery, and a young preacher said, going out to one of my elders, he said, why does Mr. Paisley see such things in the Bible? And this elder looked at him and smiled. He says, I think he reads it. You have to read the Bible. And you don't read it in chunks. You have to read it by every word. You have to break up the words as well. And when you do that, and here the first time that the Son of David is used by anyone on earth, because in Matthew chapter 1, that's the God of heaven who's writing the Bible, that he's the Son of David. Two men come, and what do they say? They want to get their eyes open. Their eyes open. Look at Matthew 12:23. And they said, all the people were amazed and said, is not this the Son of David? Matthew 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Matthew 20, 30 and 31. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Here is the first miracle. Repeat it. There were four men. God started off with two men. Two is the number of witness. Four is the number of the world. The only hope for man is to see Christ. The only hope for this world is to see Christ. And if this world doesn't see Christ, and if men and women don't see Christ, they will be lost forever. We would see Jesus. You turn over to Matthew chapter 21, 9 to 15. The multitudes that went before him cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. And in verse 15, the children cried in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the hypocrites of Pharisees and Sadducees were displeased. Matthew 22 and 42, Christ said, what think ye of Christ, whose son is he? They say unto him, the Son of David. In Psalm 132, we read, the Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body I will set it upon the throat. From beginning to end, this title, Son of David, is marked with miracles. Marked with miracles. Two men have their eyes open. in Matthew 9:27. The devil possessed is delivered. The chains are smashed. In 12:28, the woman with her daughter that was devil possessed has a wonderful answer to her cry, and her daughter is made whole. The two Jericho sinners in chapter 20, both blind men, get their eyes open to see Jesus. The multitudes acclaim him as the Son of God. And when Christ asked the question of the Pharisees, whose son is he? They said, the Son of David. In every one of these nine occurrences, we're getting a picture. We would see Jesus. Have you seen him as the Son of God? The co-eternal, co-equal Son of the living God. Have you seen him as the Son of David? The one who is touched with the feeling of our imperfection. I know there are those who sorrow today in this house. I know there are those that carry a heavy heart in this house. Oh, meet him as the Son of David. As he sent home those two men rejoicing. Well, he didn't send them home because they said, when they got their eyes open, they followed Jesus in the way. They were so delighted to see the Lord, they didn't just go up and introduce themselves and go home. They followed Jesus in the way. They were so filled with the joy of seeing Jesus. Oh, my friend, today he is the Son of David. Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see him as the Son of God. Light of light, God of God, very God of very God, the co-equal Son with the Father, the eternal, this eternal second person of the adorable Trinity. He is God. He is God, the Son of God. May the Lord help us to see him as the Son of God and as the Son of Abraham. But let's come a little farther. He is also in this word. He occurs, we read concerning him, that he is the Son of Abraham. Not only the Son of David, but the Son of Abraham. Now turn to the opening verse of the Gospel, and you'll find the title, the Son of Abraham. The Son of David comes first. The Son of Abraham comes second. Both these titles complement each other in the setting forth of Christ's royal dominion. Christ promised David that he would give him an heir to his throne. That was the throne of the Jewish nation. But to Abraham, there was a larger promise given. It was promised to Abraham that he would be the heir of all things. And if you go with me now to a most interesting scripture, the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Turn to the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And here we find a wonderful thing. Genesis chapter 22. The more we read, the more we are amazed at the wonder of the book. Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. And it says, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven. I'm reading it, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be what? Seen. See? Sir, we would see Jesus in the mount of the Lord. Word, it shall be seen. Where is Moriah? Moriah is Mount Calvary, the very same mountain on which Christ was to be crucified. And there Abraham saw in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus in the representation of a ram that was caught in a thicket. And it was caught in a thorn thicket. This ram had a thorn crowned head that was caught by the horns in a thicket. That's what the original brings out. Thank God for one who wore a crown of thorns for me. And Abraham that day stood and he said, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And praise God, there was one day I stood and I saw him and he had thorns in his brow. And when I go to heaven, I'll see the marks. Eternally filled with his glory. The glory of Emmanuel's Lamb. And I will see those marks upon the forehead of the Son of God. What a vision that will be. The first time we see the marks in his wonderful head. I'll think of Abraham. Abraham who rejoiced to see his day. He saw it. And was glad. Go through the book of Genesis when you have time, and you'll find that there are precious promises given to this man Abraham. Two of them are very important. The Lord said, "Look at the sand of the sea. Well, your seed are going to be." Like the sun. And then he waited to night time and he took Abraham out and he said, Abraham, I don't want you to look at the sand. I want you now to look at the stars. And he said to Abraham, your seed are going to be like the stars of the sky. Now you'll never understand the Bible if you don't understand the two seeds of Abraham. Because Abraham had a natural seed, the Jewish people, but he has a spiritual seed, the people of God, for he's the father of the faithful. And we believe as he believed, the father of the faithful. And the two seeds of Abraham are going to share the blessing of the Lord. Now, Mr. Bush can have as many meetings as he likes at Camp David. But there's only one thing that will settle the Far East problem with the Jews, and it's King David. He's coming again. And he'll settle the Jewish problem. I was nearly going to say poor Arabs. Let me say this to you today. It's a plan. All down through the ages, the devil has tried to destroy the Jewish nation, but they can't destroy it. It's undestroyable. Someone asked an old preacher one day, give me proof that the Bible is the Word of God in one word. It's simple. The Jew. That's the proof the Bible is infallible. The Bible told us of a race that would stay, would be persecuted, would be murdered. They would try to wipe it out. And we see the whole of history. And all the awful persecution of the Jewish race, but they're still there. And Mr. Sharon is still as fat as ever. And he's still there. He's still in office. It's well he wasn't fighting for an assembly under the democratic views that we are under. He wouldn't have got even elected. But of course we live in an outlawed age as far as democracy is concerned in our beloved province. But there's a greater seed. Far better than the seed of the Jew. And that's the seed
of this age.
We're the star. I will leave my Jewish brother to love the stars, but I'm going to spend my eternity in the stars. The stars. And if you turn to the seventh chapter of the book of the Revelation, you'll find a great number which no man can number. But they're not out of the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation has its sealed ones first in the 12 tribes, and they're all mentioned. And then comes out of every tribe, out of every kingdom. Even little Ulster will be there. When they call out the names of people for Ulster, I'll give a good celestial hallelujah for everyone. That will mean the permanence of perdition forever, written in the book of God. Every tribe. And who's at the head of them? The son of Abraham. The son of Abraham. He's the head of the great host. So we have seen he is the Son of God. We have seen that he is the Son of David. We have seen he's the Son of Abraham. And then we come to the name he takes in this passage. The Son of Man. The Son of Man. And that is the greatest name of the whole lot, because it's mentioned more times in the Bible than any other name. The Son of Man. What a wonderful thing, the Son of Man. Now this title, could I just say this, and I'm not going to go any farther for my time is gone. Think about this. This title is used many times. In fact, in the book of Ezekiel, it's used 92 times. But they're not a reference to Christ, because it's Son of Man. But every time you get the definite article in the original text, the Son of Man, it always refers to Jesus. On this title, Jesus used more in his descriptions than any other title that he used. The Son of Man. I want you to think about that and then have a look at where it first occurs in the Bible. And you'll get the theme of its first occurrence running through every other time it is mentioned. So there's some homework for to do for next week, the Son of Man. But there's one thing I'm glad. He's the Son of Man because as God he is invisible. I cannot see him. But thank God as the Son of Man I can see him. Sure, we would see Jesus. He didn't refer them to Son of God. He said, I am the Son of Man. I'm going to be lifted up from there. And if you look at those verses I read, you'll find 10 distinct and beautiful presentations of Christ. But one of the most precious ones is it was the hung up. The hung up Jesus, he said, if I be lifted up. Thinking of us hanging on the gallows trees of the cross. Oh, I tell you, friend, this Bible is a precious book. But I'll tell you something better. The Lord Jesus is a precious person. Aren't you glad you know him? Aren't you glad you love him? Aren't you glad his blood's in your soul? I was battling this week in the Grand Committee of the Northern Ireland Department in Westminster, a horrible hole. I said to my colleagues, I remember sitting here 30 years ago, and I was just as miserable
just as miserable. But thank God, I'm going to a grander thing than a grand committee of the House of Commons. I'm going to the grand palace of the Son of Man. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and I shall see him. And what's more, and this is good news for you, dear, you may have stood a long time before the mirror, put a wee bit of powder on, a wee bit of paint on even, but let me tell you this, you're going to be real good looking, dear, when you get to heaven. You're going to be like him. And I got my painting done in oils the other day, and I said, I never thought I'd ever be an oil painting, but I'd rather have a photograph. The photographer takes a better picture of me than you with your paints. But let me tell you this, we're going to all be like him. Think of it. We're going to really be like Jesus. The man wrote a book called Sheldon. If you ever get it, you should read it. In Jesus' steps, what would Jesus do? I read that book as a boy and it had a tremendous effect on me. What would Jesus do? You ever ask yourself in a situation when things are tight, what would Jesus do? Oh, he is the man, Christ Jesus, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Wonderful Jesus.